This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Adult. I'm Jim Williams, along with my partner in crime, the one, the only, the king himself, Mr. Glenn King. Some opening thoughts, my friend.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Glenn King. You can find me on Twitter at GlennKingXXX. That's with two N's. And we are so thrilled to bring you, as always, adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. We bring you... I would say information, tips, and entertaining stories about what goes on in the world of adult entertainment. And Jim, easy day today for you. I did all the work this time.
I'm good with that.
Right?
I'll just sit back and listen because it's really hot. I'm telling you, you've brought on one of the...
This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
World's hottest ladies, and I'm just happy to sit back and listen. Why don't you tell us who it is?
Yeah, it's Raven Bey. Raven Bey is one of the hottest performers in the business. She's just a little sex pot, if you can call her that. Just oozes sexuality. And I talked to her. I did the whole interview. We talked to her about do's and don'ts, you know, things that you should say and that you shouldn't say when you're talking to a porn star. Gave us some great stories from set that'll make you laugh. And talked about what makes her so incredibly sexual and gave advice to females and males about how to perform in bed. It's a good interview because I like to compliment myself as an interviewer. This is a great interview.
I'm sure it is. I mean, because you only do great interviews. So without any further ado, why don't we listen to you and Raven?
So back in ancient times, you had the Greeks invented something called the Olympics, where they brought together the best athletes of the world and had them compete to find out who is the best of the best athletes. Now, we still have the Olympics today, but what we don't have, unfortunately, are the sexual Olympics. But if we did, you know who would be a gold medalist of the sex Olympics? That's right. My guest today, the incomparable one and only Raven Bey! Hey. All right. So Raven Bey is here with me. Raven has been in the industry for around 6 years. She is one of the most talented sexual performers in the business today. I would recommend that everyone go check out her scenes, and you'll see that, you know, she just jumps off the page at you as you watch her perform. Watch Cowgirl, if you guys know. That's when the guy lies on the bed. And the girl climbs on top, and she's some of them just sit there, but others are moving their body and taking control of the sex with their sexuality, with their body, with their movements. And that's Raven for you. So I'm very excited to have Raven with us today. Raven, start by telling us where people can find you, your social media.
For Twitter and Snapchat, it's RavenBey XXX, and Instagram is RavenBeyXO. And I also have an OnlyFans account, which is also RavenBey XXX.
Good. Okay. Let's get right into it. You started sometime around 2012.
Yes, June 6, 2012.
Ah, so you know the exact date. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. So you know your story then. Okay, good.
I do.
Now, for some girls, getting into the business is a big decision, but we've actually had a bunch of girls on the podcast who said, no, it wasn't a big decision at all. I knew from age 12 that I was going to fuck for a living someday.
I've heard that so much.
Right. Oh, but people, it really should be a hard decision, because if you get into the business,
it affects
you for the rest of your life.
That's like me when I was 11. I'm like, I'm going to get a boob job. I knew at 11 I was getting a boob job. Not that I was going to fuck on camera, but yeah. So, okay, so I was in college and I was going to BMCC and for psychology. And then my friend, Natasha Starr and Natalia Starr, the Starr sisters.
Right.
So I met them, and Natasha was the one that was performing at that time. And I was in college and she was doing these parties, these like exclusive kind of film the sex kind of parties. So I was going from school, I was hopping on the train, going to these parties with my books, putting them in the back, doing these parties. We once did a party where I was on an ex and she was like eating me out and stuff. And you know, ever since then, that's when I was just like, I want to do porn. And then LA Direct contacted my manager, my modeling manager at the time, and was like, gotta go to Cali, get her up here.
And where was the, what was modeling like? I mean, were you actually appearing in any print or are we talking about, was this lingerie stuff?
I did Velvet magazine, which no longer exists.
Okay.
I mean, once I got into porn, I went into Penthouse and Hustler too, not like the front cover, which I would love to do, but now just like spreads and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So you were doing risque stuff. It's not like you were
kind of like lingerie stuff.
Victoria's, or was Victoria's Secret kind of your goal at that point? Or?
Yeah, okay. I really wanted to, but unfortunately, at that point I had so many tattoos, and Playboy, you weren't allowed to have tattoos. You know, Victoria's Secret, you couldn't have tattoos. So I was just, that was definitely.
And also, mysteriously, you are the second person. So this is our eighth podcast.
Yeah.
And you're the second who was brought into the business by Natalia, or one of the Starr sisters.
Really?
So how did you meet Natalia? Are they out recruiting girls, or is this just random?
Natalia at that point didn't even have plans on going to porn.
Okay.
Natalia.
So this was Natasha.
So Natasha, she was in porn.
Yeah.
And then
I thought they both got in at the same time. No.
No.
Oh, okay.
So Natasha was in for a while with her husband, and then I had met Natalia through them, and then I got in, and then Natalia got in right after me.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but we were all like, the New York happy family, because I was living in New York, and it was fun. I love them. They're awesome.
They're pretty wild, actually. Yeah. Do you have a story about them, like, doing some kind of swinger party that you want to share with us?
I have so many stories with them. Anytime I'm around them, we always just have so much fun, you know, because we're like sisters. But, I mean, I can't say we're like sisters because, like, you know, we fuck each other. But it's like, I can even think pinpoint of one story with them. Oh, okay. I have one.
Okay.
I came home from school, or no, I got on the train after school. It was like 9 p.m. I was there at 9 in the morning till 9 p.m. Put all my books, like, I had a huge, like, Coach bag, like, back when the Coach was popular. And I put it in the back. And then I went out. There's this huge X.
They put me on the cross. Okay.
And there was about 100 guests watching, and they were filming me and Natasha doing a sex scene.
Okay.
And it was hella crazy, but it was so much fun. And that was pretty much my first scene ever, really.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
No one really knows about that, because I don't even know where that scene is. But yeah, that's what kind of was like, all right, my deciding factor of,
yeah.
All right. Well, you did that, and you know,
if you can perform in front of 100 people,
yeah,
And this is something that every guy that wants to get in the business needs to understand, mm-hmm. and every girl as well, that you become an exhibitionist, whether you like it or not, when you get in the business.
Yeah.
You're really not doing very many scenes where people in the room. There's usually going to be a director, a cameraman, a crew member or two.
A PA. Two or three.
Yeah. And they're all watching you, and they're mm-hmm. very close. Like, yeah. it's not like they're off in the distance and letting you do your thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're all perched over you like doctors in a operating room.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to operate, to be operated
right,
on.
They're handing you baby wipes, on deck, paper towels, you know. Gotta clean up the splurge.
There you go. You can say words like that here.
The
okay, well, let's so in your first year, so you signed on with Direct Models, you started going to sets. What was shocking for you when you went to sets? Like, what did you just not expect to see that you saw?
Okay, so I will say my first scene ever was for Penthouse with Ryan Driller, one of my favorite performers ever. He's just the sweetest. But I had my period at the time. I know, like, this is just like a normal, you know, thing that happens. And I was so nervous because I was like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. And they're like, oh, yeah, just stick a couple sponges up there, makeup sponges, and you'll be good to go.
That's what they
do. I'm like, what? Right. I was like, makeup sponges? And then, like, you know, he's still going to, like, bang me out? And then, wait. So, yeah, I put them up there. We did the scene. It ended up getting really messy, but I mean, Ryan was like so awesome about it. He even helped me fish out the sponges after the scene and everything. So yeah. It was like that to me, I never experienced something like that. I mean, I've obviously had boyfriends where, you know, you have sex on your period and it's totally normal. You just jump in the shower, but not when it's like recorded, everyone's around. And that was just definitely different for me.
I'm going to clue people in here about a little secret of the industry that we just don't hear all that much, but how many days of the month, every month, do you have your period?
From like 4 to 6.
Four to six days sometimes. A month in a 30-day month, and we really don't shoot usually on Saturdays and Sundays, although it happens, but it's less frequently shooting on Saturdays and Sundays. A girl who's trying to make a living cannot afford to stop shooting on, you know, that's almost, what is that, about 1/5 of the month, basically.
Yeah.
So a girl cannot stop shooting, and that's what we do in the industry, especially since sometimes you don't know it's your period until you arrive at set. So our female talent, they just take some makeup sponges, those little mm-hmm. triangular things, and kind of shove them up there so that blood can't flow out.
You gotta fish them back out.
A little, yes. And then after saying, you do hear stories in the industry about
sometimes
girls who are unaware that,
they
get stuck.
I did go to the emergency run one time.
What?
It got stuck up there so high, I couldn't get it, even with my long fingernails. Everyone knows, like, I have the longest fingernails. I could not do it. My friend, my best friend ever, Taylor, in New York, this is crazy. Okay, so we tried salad tongs. We tried a spoon. We tried everything. She tried her fingers. We tried my fingers. We ended up going to the emergency room, and the doctor had
Tell me you tried a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, my God. No, I know salad tongs and a spoon sounds crazy, but we, like, at that point, we were just trying to, like, look at all our options, you know? And I was 22, you know? So
you went to the emergency room. Did the doctor look at you like?
No. He honestly said this has happened plenty of times before. So I was like, okay, cool. And he took it out in 2 seconds. That's and his fingers were like smaller than mine. I'm like, what? But
cool. Okay.
He knows a vagina.
Learned a lesson there. Excellent. Okay. What's different about the sets today than you experienced 6 years ago when you first started?
I would say they're a lot more friendly. Mm-hmm. I think when I started, it was just like a little catty, you know, but that's how women are. We're just, you know, we're programmed to be catty around each other. I mean, I'm not like that, of course, no, but, I would say that and just the overall, way like you grow as a performer as far as like your acting skills, your sexual skills, you know, you just learn a lot from everybody. And that's pretty much it.
Do you think that producers are better at giving you more information before the scene now or then? Like, just an example, you and I shot a scene today. Mm-hmm. I spent, you know, like 10 or 15 minutes with you going over a lot of things I wanted to see in the scene, types of things to say, physical things to do. But
ever since I shot with you, you've always done that.
I've always done that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on the company, really. I feel like you've always done that. There are certain companies that have it, and then there are certain companies that always do the, you know, the whole rundown.
Like, how often do you go somewhere and they just basically go, Raven, Ryan, Ryan, Raven, you two get on that bed and fuck.
I mean, that's like a Gonzo scene. That's Gonzo. Yeah, that's more like, all right, well, there's no dialogue. You guys are just going to fucking say what you want. But, I mean, I'm basically a Gonzo girl. You know, I like that type of scene.
Yeah.
Because I like to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
I'm really, really terrible at, you know, reading a script and learning it right away.
Yeah.
If I want to learn a script, I need to have it like 2 weeks in advance and I need to study it because I'm good at studying. That's what I'm good at, like remembering stuff, but not like right on the moment. So that's like a huge anxiety of mine whenever I'm on set and there's dialogue, I freak out when I'm not getting it. And then I start to shut down. So,
and by the way, everybody, you're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King and Jim Williams and our guest, Raven Bay. But Raven Bay, I know a secret about you, a technique that you seem to use to get through improvisational scenes.
Yeah. What is it?
It is that you find something in your real life that you can sort of latch on to and then adapt it so that you're kind of in the moment as your character.
Yeah, I definitely do. I'll take a scenario or a person and or something I'm going through at that moment, like a feeling, a conversation, like anything. And I'll just apply that to the scene, definitely. Because, you know, most of the scenes are something we go through in real life. A lot of people will look at it and be like, oh yeah, this is all fantasy. But most of the times it's like when I was in high school, I was definitely looking at my teacher, you know, flirting with my teacher, trying to fuck my teacher. So it's like all that kind of stuff really does happen. Not in everyone's life, but you know, I was always sexual growing up. And honestly, when I got into porn, everybody I went to high school knew that they were like, all right, yeah, we knew she was going to do porn. We knew it. That was coming.
So that's an example. You've played a student who seduces her teacher, and you just put yourself in with a real past teacher experience from your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
That and, you know, relationships, or even if I just meet someone and we have like an argument or something and I'm doing a femdom scene, you know, I'm like, all right, fuck this person. Like, and then I just take out my anger on them. But it's like a fun, flirty anger. It's just like, it's not like a mean, like, I hate you anger. It's just like a, oh, God, like, I'm just going to call you every single name in the book and then keep it moving, you know?
Okay, you mentioned femdom. You are one of the few performers who seems equally comfortable doing both fetish scenes and regular sex scenes.
Yes.
How did this start for you? Was I your first femdom scene or no?
Honestly, I'm trying to think because no, you weren't my first femdom scene. I think that
Maybe Florida. Maybe you did some of the Florida. Because I know you've worked for basically every femdom company out there, I think.
Yeah, I have. But I'm trying to think of which company it was I worked for first. It definitely wasn't Florida. Because it was in Cali for sure.
Okay. Maybe it was me then.
It was either you or Miami Mean Girls.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know once I worked.
I bet you that was me then, because not that they wouldn't hire somebody without having them on my site first.
I'm pretty sure it was you, because I think that when I talked to them, they knew about our scene. So yeah, it definitely was you.
So maybe Brookhaven like introduced me to you. Brookhaven was my production manager, one of the great performers ever in the history of business. We all love her. Mm-hmm. But Brooke and you were friends.
Yeah.
And Brooke knew the type of girl that I liked because Brooke worked as my production manager. Mm-hmm. So maybe she, I mean, I'm just making this all up, but it sounds logical.
It does sound cool.
You got to check out Raven. And then I hit up Derek and booked you.
I never thought that I was going to be so into it and like just love it so much, because I do. Whenever I'm doing a femdom scene, that's my thing. That's my element. Like porn scenes, I love them too. And that's more of like my lifestyle. I would say that's like what I want to do for like my personal life. And then the femdom thing is like, ooh, like let me get out my frustration, my anger. Like that clears out my anxiety. It makes me feel good. Like there's just so much.
So people who are trying to figure out what we're talking about, femdom is female domination. And that's where, and it really, there are varieties. They're just different types of femdom scenes. And some of them, like American Mean Girls, the dom, the dominatrix, doesn't really get nude. She just basically beats up a guy, I guess.
You basically don't, you don't mess around with the guy. You just use him as a slave. You kick their balls. You walk on them with your heels, and there's just so much trampling, ball busting. I don't know.
There's that. And then there's my type of scene. And the thing is that if I could see all of you out there right now, the thousands and thousands of subscribers, we're really amazed at how many subscribers we have so far, but, if I could see all you and I could say, okay, everybody raise your hands. And I say, okay, how many of you out in the audience want to be beaten up by, you know, beaten and tortured by a hot woman? Maybe like one out of every 10 is raising their hand right now. But if I say to you, how many of you guys out there want to be used as a sex slave, just thrown on the bed and have a gorgeous woman climb on top of you and just...
And
just
spend
grind on your face and spend your money. No, and grind on your face and use you for her sexual pleasure. I think like 8 out of 10 are now raising their hands. And so, you know, like that's what, just as this webcast or this podcast is adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious, my website and my scenes are female domination for the female domination curious, for people who are kind of curious about it.
Yeah.
And so that's when, boy, I mean, I think that's when you're really in your element, is when I give you a guy and say, use him for your pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like the guys that can take the most out of me, because I'm not going to say I'm not mean, but I'm like harsh in my punishments, but it's a very pretty, sexy, harsh, I would say, you know, there's like kind of like an in between. It's not like too bad or too lame. It's just like I just dig it, you know. It's very natural to me, and I don't know, I think over the years I've just found my niche.
Well, I want to give two stories as an example, but first I do want to remind you guys, we're listening to Let's Talk Adults with Glenn King and Jim Williams and our guest Raven Bay. And we'll be right back after this quick message. And then I'm going to ask her about specific scenes that were pretty wild. So Jim, let's talk for a moment about our new sponsor, Blue Chew, bluechew.com. I have an amazing success story to tell you about bluechew.com that happened to me just yesterday.
Do tell, my friend, do tell.
So I am a 50-year-old male who performs in adult films, and that's not always easy, because the one thing that is the most important thing when you're performing in adult films is being able to get an erection and maintain it. And we were working on I actually didn't sleep very well the night before. Mm-hmm. And so we're – the beginning of the film, first thing you do is the pictures, and then you film the video afterwards. Mm-hmm. We started doing the pictures. And I was semi-erect, but not fully erect, which is even more annoying. It's kind of easier if you can't get erect at all. But if you're sitting there halfway and you're trying to will yourself the rest of the way and you're thinking, oh, man, you know, what's going on here? the model tends to get irritated and you know, and this is the problem. It's not just on set. If you're doing this at home, your girl tends to feel insulted if you can't get a full erection. So I said,
hey,
to the
time
girl,
is money, dude. Time is money, you know?
That's right. When you're on set, especially. So I said to the model, hey, listen, can we just take like a 15-minute break? Let me get my stuff together. Ran to the other room, and I took a Blue Chew pill. So Blue Chew, just so you understand, is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And you take them anytime you want, but since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill. So imagine you're in the middle of starting to have sex with somebody and you realize that you're not going to be able to get that erection up as fast as you want. And then you say, hey, let me take a pill real quick, or you disappear to discreetly take a pill. If it's going to take 45 minutes to hit, your girl is going to lose interest. But with the Blue Chew pill, it hits you a lot faster because it's chewable. So I slipped out of the room, brought her a water, did some things to distract her for a few minutes. 15 minutes later, we start up again, and bam, I am erect and hard as a rock and ready to go. Had no problems for the rest of the day. So Blue Chew really works. It's bluechew.com. That's blue, like the color blue, bluechew.com. And what they do is they prescribe it online to you. You basically just fill in a little box and explain what kind of erectile dysfunction that you're suffering from, or, you know, just put in there that I'd like to get better erections. And then it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So you don't have to go to a doctor. Even better, you don't have to wait in the pharmacy and have the girl look at you when you pick it up. No more awkwardness. And it's also a lot less expensive than getting the stuff in the pharmacy. It's made in the USA, and it's prepared and shipped directly to you.
Hey, Glenn, buddy, don't we have a deal for the people out there?
Yeah, that's the best part. We have a deal that's just special for our listeners. This is a really good deal. Visit bluechew.com. Get your first shipment free. That's right, free. Use our special promo code ADULT. So that's just capital ADULT. And so you're going to just pay for the shipping, but you're going to get your first set of pills for free. So try it out. You know, don't believe me, but you really should, because I'm a 50-year-old guy who's using this, and it's having amazing results. By the way,
believe him.
Believe me, they didn't come to me and say, hey, we'd like to sponsor your podcast. I went to them and said, I'm a customer of yours already, and I want to tell the world, all the other 50-year-old guys out there, about how they can succeed using your product. So go get it. It's at bluechew.com. It's promo code ADULT. Get it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, and we're back with Raven Bay. Okay, so two different examples here that were kind of opposite sides of the spectrum. Yes. All right, so one time I was, so getting back to your example of how you like to really lay into guys and really enjoy the ones that are submissive, we put you in a mean dungeon scene where we made you a traditional dominatrix. You work with Marcelo. Marcelo and you went over the scene beforehand, and he talked about all the things that he really likes, which is basically everything. Marcelo is
everything.
A true masochist.
He is.
And I always joke that I have to tell girls sometimes that just because Marcelo will let you set him on fire doesn't mean...
It doesn't mean you can.
You should.
I know.
Yeah. But you slapped him until he passed out. Like, you actually hit him so hard he got knocked out and his eyes rolled back in his head and he fell to crumpled to the floor.
Yeah!
And then he got right back up. It didn't even like slow down for a second so he could get more slapping.
I've never knocked a guy out. Like, I've never knocked a grown man out in my life.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was just like, I mean, I felt bad for like a good 2 seconds, but then when he got back up and was happy, I was just like, oh, that was pretty dope. I can knock a dude out.
He considers that like one of the great moments of her, so.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But you enjoyed, you actually, because he enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
If somebody isn't into it, then I can totally sense it. I'm just like, no, I'm not. I don't feel comfortable because, you know, I don't want to like slap someone that doesn't want to be slapped. It's just like, because the reaction's different. You have like a totally different reaction. You have somebody who's just like, don't slap me here. I don't have a butt. Or oh, you just knocked me out. That's so hot. Can you do it again?
Yeah.
Just punch me again real quick.
That's Marcelo. If you guys want to see that, I think it's on meandungeon.com. Okay, but there was a second incident that I think is even hotter and more interesting. 5 or 6 years ago, no, it was probably 3-4 years ago, I had this great idea for a series called Glenn King's Maneaters, because to me, this one of the hot sex is femdom sex, where the girl takes charge, throws the guy down, pulls his pants down, and then just sort of dominates him while she's fucking him. And so we put Raven Bey in this video with Kenny Styles, and she fucked him until he tapped out. You actually, has been in a lot of fuck scenes, and Kenny actually, I hope I'm not revealing anything, but he was a male prostitute at one point in his life. He's had a lot of sexual experiences.
Yeah.
And you fucked him so hard that he had to ask us to tone it down.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that either, because, you know, you have these guys that, which he's amazing, but you have these guys that come in and they're like, oh yeah, I can take anything. Do whatever you want. And then you go to that extreme, and then it's like, I don't feel bad until they're like ready to walk off set.
Right.
Which I've had that happen. I was working with Lexi and
you're talking about
Christian Triple X walked off set.
Okay. So this is, okay. Gotcha. This is another femdom site.
I was doing a femdom scene and, I think he had like a taser thing on his balls or something. And I don't know what happened, but I did something to the extreme and he just walked out, got in his truck and left. He was like, I'm done. I'm not even going to give an explanation.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
How did they finish the scene, or did she just, paid you and you went home?
No, I think we used the PA for the rest of it. Yeah. We ended up doing some really cool stuff with him too.
Okay. That's pretty funny. All right. We're going to keep moving along here. Let's talk about the reason people tuned in today. And that is that as the sexual athlete that you are, the Olympic caliber sex athlete, people want to know, girls want to know, guys want to know your secrets. So give some sex tips here. Like, how are you the best in the world at sex?
Okay. My motto has always been, and anytime I give an interview, like in a magazine or anything, I always say you have to lick it before you stick it. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys are either selfish, thinking about themselves, and they want you to blow them and then jump on top and just start, you know, doing all the work, which is fine. I don't mind getting on top, but, you know, I want to feel like I'm important. I want my pussy in, and it's like, you know, I want to be turned on first, because just like a guy, a girl, you know, you need to be aroused. You can't just be like, oh yeah. I mean, we can, but it's not as fun. I'm not going to come unless like I'm being eaten out and then, you know, plowed out. No, it's different.
Okay. So how does a guy eat you out? Does he need to dive right in with enthusiasm, or should he start kissing around the areas and finding erogenous zones and teasing you?
I think I've used, what is that? That massager thingy called? Why can't I think of it?
A vibrator?
No, the really hard one that everyone loves. Hitachi. I've used a Hitachi so much, I stopped using it because, like when I was getting eaten out, I wasn't able to, like, you know, come quicker or anything, because it's just it's meant to be a massager. So it's just basically, it's so intense that anytime you do anything that's like lower, or like a lower caliber, it just doesn't feel as good. So I stopped using the Hitachi. Now it's just like, I'm so sensitive that, you know, it's really, I like everything like fast and like juicy, you know, just like I give head. I like to, you know, spit and deep throat and choke on it. And you
so
know,
you want somebody that shows intensity from the start.
Yeah. I'm a very intense gal.
And when you climb on board the dick.
Yeah.
This is where your skill really shows up on camera, at least. Like, what are you thinking? Like, are you, why are you, you're attacking the cock, basically.
Yeah. I think it's just like, I do what feels good for me. So I'm like, when I'm riding or, you know, doing a certain movement, that's because it feels good for me. And I'm like, if it feels good for me, I know it feels good for them. So that's how I go in that. Or jump on it. That's how I jump on that.
What about the guy that's approaching you somewhere? Like, let's, you know, just say that somewhere out there is the perfect guy, but he needs to get in touch with you. And tell me if I'm wrong here. I feel like game is something that has gone from, like, I'm 50 years old, okay? So I come from a different generation of how to approach women. But I feel like it's just gotten less and less of a, hey, I need to get to know this person and then figure out how we connect and build a bond and whatever, to just, hi there, how about we have sex? Yeah. Not even, hi, my name's Fred, let's have sex. It's just,
hi, I want
to fuck. Yeah, because we have social media and you get contacted and all these guys, they just don't even, I've seen girls show me their DMs. It's like, he's just full of guys sending you dick pics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what's the right way to approach you?
I mean, honestly, to approach anybody on social media is cliche, but these days that is really how people, you know, communicate. So I would say social media is a no-no unless you have something really good to say, like you said, but the whole game thing.
Yeah.
Me, the only time I'm attracted to a man is when he has game, when he's spitting game at me.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like. That's what attracts me. Like, you know, I don't like the, hey, ma, what you doing? I'm like, I'm not your mother. I'm not your ma. And then, I don't know. It just depends on the person, really. I guess what turns me on is game. Really, because, like, if a person is just okay looking and they have hella game, then, you know, you can totally fall in love with their character, their personality and stuff, and be turned on by them. But you're right, though, like, it's different. It's also different state by state, you know. Florida's different, Cali's different, New York is different. I lived in all three states, and guys are different everywhere. I'm used to Florida men, so I'm used to the way that fuck, I'm used to the way that they are. And I mean, I don't want to talk shit about Cali, but guys out there don't really have too much game,
you know. Like, I feel like, so for me, for example, I can't deal with people that send me a DM that says hey. Like,
right?
Just
or
don't.
Yo.
Get to the point. I, you know, most of the people that are DMing me want to get in the business. They have some ulterior motive, and I would so much rather they just say it. You know, is there even a right way these days? Like, wait, what if a guy basically explains, hey, hi there, Raven, here's who I am, and then wants to get to know you? Is getting to know you still a thing these days?
I don't think so. I think no. Nowadays, like, I'll get messages that will be like, hey, I'm so-and-so reaching out for you for this celebrity. And I'm like, okay, well, who's the celebrity? And then they'll be like, okay, well, I can't tell you until you say you're going to meet this person, blah, 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 and XYZ. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what is that? Like, no, I don't know who you are. And anybody can say, oh, I'm reaching out for a celebrity. And not only that is I celebrity, you know, I've come across celebrities so much, so many times that it's like, it's not about that these days, you know. It's cool to be like, hey, it's more realism for me. I like realistic people.
If you are a celebrity listening to this podcast, you only have two options. either A, get into her DMs on your own.
Oh my God.
And, or B, find a trusted friend of hers who can actually vouch for you. What do they should they not do? For example, dick pic, not good. Every
yeah,
guy
I don't
to
like
understand.
That because most of the time, the dick pic, it just, it's either like they don't know how to take it properly, look soft, or it's like something's wrong with it.
But it's not a good way to say hello.
It's not. It's no. Like I don't want to see your dick and have your name attached to your dick.
Right.
You know, I don't know. As far as the internet goes, I would say, like, I don't really look for guys on there, but anybody that slides in my DMs, I wouldn't even see it unless I'm friends with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But, like, you guys out there, like, okay, let me give you another tip, guys, and Raven will back me up on this. Never, ever, ever call a porn star by her real name.
Yeah, no.
That just makes you creepy and stalkerish. Like, don't think you're cool going up to her Exotica and saying, how's that young sister of yours at Riverdale High School? Or, you know,
yeah,
how's your mom, Jeannie, doing?
Like, I know.
Don't do it.
That happens a lot when I'm webcamming. Somebody will go on and say my whole entire name, and I'm like, delete, delete, delete. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Once you've done that, guys, you're out. There, you will never recover from that move.
No.
It is a showstopper. It is an ender.
Yeah, an eye roller, too.
It's an eye roller. Don't do it. Okay, so you're performing a lot on your own these days. This is the new thing. Performers these days are realizing that they can make their own content. They can build their own fan base. They don't need to wait for producers to come along. So you got your OnlyFans. You got, I just heard you downstairs doing some kind of wild masturbation on Snapchat.
Yeah. So I have a regular Snapchat. It's okay. Not like a cash or anything, but they'll send me a Venmo and I do like a little maybe 20-second video for $25. And they just send it there and I have assistant who helps me, and basically they'll just text me every time someone pays the $25 and I'll just send them a quick snap. And yeah, I mean, I'll make $200 in 30 minutes.
Nice.
It's like, it's really cool. I mean, I just started doing it, but it helps me.
What do they get? Like what interact. Kind of thing? Like would you do?
Basically I start with, just saying their name, and then I take my clothes off, show them my boobs, you know, tell them, give them like kind of like masturbation instructions.
Oh,
then
like a JOI, like a jerk off instructions.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Okay. Kind of like, you know, finger myself real quick and then say goodbye, blow them a kiss. And it's super quick, but I mean, you'd be surprised because I'll get somebody, I'll send them a video and they'll send me 25, 25, 25, you know, they want more.
Yeah.
I just had that happen earlier. Someone's like, oh my God, I can't get enough. And they just kept Venmoing me. And I'm like, that's fine. Anytime you Venmo me, I will send you as many videos as you want, you know? And then if it takes me like a couple of days, because it was just Thanksgiving. So, you know, it took me a couple of days and so I sent them two videos. I sent everybody two videos. I was just like, you know, that's what I can do for just being a few days late.
What's on your OnlyFans? How much is your OnlyFans?
I think it's 20-something
okay.
per month. But right now, there's I have to put more content on there. Okay. There was there's a bunch of videos on there just of me, you know, waking up, masturbating, me cooking with naked. Just very like secluded personal videos
right.
that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. Okay.
So people love that because it's just like they get to see my personality. They get to see that side of me. And they're able to connect with me on that level, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. So everybody check out her OnlyFans. All right. So it's time for us to get this thing wrapped up. I told you that goes fast.
Yeah, it does.
Here's the last question. And we asked this to a lot of performers. It's a good question. I compliment myself as an interviewer.
Yeah.
So it's a great question that I ask people. So 27-year-old Raven now, if you could go back in time and ask and give some advice to 21-year-old Raven when you started, Or did we say earlier we're going to call you 25 from now on?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 25-year-old Raven goes back in time and gives advice to 21-year-old Raven about the business. What are you telling her?
I will say that, okay, there's one thing I really don't want to say, but I have to say it, is do not think everybody is your friend, number one. Number two, you are alone in this business, whether you have an agent or, you know, a lot of girls are just like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Insincere.
Well, competitive. That's what okay. it is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's just everybody's in a competition and I'm not like that. You know, yeah. I'm about woman power, just being friends with everybody. And, you know, I did make a lot of friends, but I also had a lot of people against me. So it was very hard to come up, you know, and it's just, there's just so much that goes on. And, you know, you have to have your own personality and be your own person and never change for anybody. That's just the other thing I would say, because I never change and I won't change for anybody. If it's a negative thing that I need to change and someone tells me about it, that I will work on, because I'm like, if it's something negative about myself, I always want to make myself better every day, you know, especially now that I'm getting older. I just want to be the best Raven Bay I can be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. The great and wonderful Raven Bay. Raven Bay, again, your social media.
Raven Bay, XXX.
There you go. Jim Williams, wrap us up.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. You know, if you have not yet subscribed to our podcast, first of all, shame on you.
Shame.
Shame. All right. Second of all, it's simple to do. Go to the iTunes store. Why? Because we're part of the Apple Podcast family. If you go to Google Play, we are part of the Google Podcast family. We're with Spreaker, we're with Spotify, we're with TuneIn, and plenty of other places where you get your podcasts. All you got to do is search Let's Talk Adult. That's Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King and Jim Williams. Hit the favorite button or hit the subscribe button, and each week you'll get another edition of the show sent directly to your phone, to your tablet, or to both. So please, I beg of you, go out and do that today, okay? All righty. Glenn, as always, my friends,
yes.
You take us out with some words of wisdom, a thought for the week. Please share with us that thought for this week.
Well, you know, Jim, I always like to take us out with a quote, and I've got one here from somebody named Tilda Swinton, who said, "Sexuality is, of course, a great way of having conversation between people." And if you recall back in the podcast, Raven talked about how people mm-hmm. are not having game anymore when they try to meet each other. They're not trying to get to know each other first. They just want to have sex right away these days. And if you think about it, not only do you want to get to know somebody verbally, but you want to get to know somebody sexually. What they do sexually tells you a lot about a person. What kind of fantasies they have, what kind of things turn them on. Do they like things slow or fast, soft or hard, intense or romantic? All those kinds of things you find out through sexuality. So my point of the day is never be afraid to explore sexuality with your partner and listen to the other person while you're having sex. And I don't necessarily mean with your ears. Listen with all of your senses to try to understand the person that you're with. There you go, Jim. Good information. As we close out the fastest growing podcast among adult podcasts in the universe. And that's something I just made up, but it's an alternative fact that is probably true.
Absolutely. We're at 15,000. So, and
wow.
growing.
I didn't realize that. That's amazing.
Yep. Okay. We're at 15,000 and growing, and we told you where to find us, so please do it. Also, if you have questions, and we're now starting to get them, okay,
yeah.
which is cool.
Yeah.
If you have questions and you want to email them to us, that can be done. We have our own little email address, and we make it very simple. It's the title of the show, Let's Talk Adult. That's letstalkadult@gmail.com. letstalkadult@gmail.com. Send us your emails, and we promise we'll get back to you. And also, if you have questions or suggestions or comments, by all means, send them to us. We greatly appreciate it. All right? Okay. Until next time, for my man, Glenn King, I'm Jim Williams. Thanking you for joining us on this edition of Let's Talk Adult.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.